Well, good morning, everyone. I'm sorry I am so late. I've been having one or two technical difficulties. Couldn't get Zoom to link up with my Google account to go on to YouTube. Tried doing a YouTube live just straight from YouTube. That wouldn't work. Tried doing Facebook from my laptop, and the camera wasn't compatible with my browser. So I had my phone set up for doing recording. So I've quickly moved everything around, and well, we are on, I think, and there's a couple of people watching. So bless you. Maybe you could spread the word on Facebook or Messenger or whatever. Tell people we're live on Murray Grace Fellowship Facebook at the moment. I think this must be a really good message that's coming up because it just doesn't want to be broadcast. Or somebody doesn't want it to be broadcast. So hopefully you can see me. Hopefully you can hear me. There's a few people coming on now. Once again, I really apologize that this is so late. Apologies to those of you who'll be watching it later who haven't got Facebook. I'll try and get this on the website as soon as possible. I'm ready to go. I have to admit I'm a little bit stressed out, but I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm glad to be here. Gonna have to rearrange my plans a little bit. I had hoped to have Michelle joining me later on Zoom to take you through communion, but that won't be possible now. But I'm sure I can come up with some communion at the end of the service. So I'm just gonna pray now that we're in, now that people are starting to join, and we'll start our service. Amen. Glad we still smile though. We're still blessed, highly favoured, and deeply loved, just not on the right platform. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you that people are joining. I thank you that even though we're late, we're now gathering together to focus on your word, to receive an offering, to take communion together. So, thank you for this chance to gather around your word, gather around the elements. Oh, we praise you, we love you, we worship you. Thank you for all this technology. Thank you, especially when it works. But thank you this morning. We're live. We're having church. So I thank you that you're going to bless our time together. I thank you that every single one of us will be blessed in some way or another. I thank you and I praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, so let's get into the word. I think I need to do that. Hallelujah. I just need to settle a little bit. Amen. You know, technology is fantastic, isn't it? When it works. But anyway, hallelujah. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. Thank you for the truths held within your scriptures. Thank you that these scriptures are breathed of you, Father. God breathed. Thank you that they are the incorruptible seed that we can plant in our hearts. And thank you, as we plant them, I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen away. Understanding so that these seeds germinate, these seeds grow, and these seeds produce fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, hallelujah. So, I am carrying on with my I Am series. I'm looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. We've already looked at a couple. We looked at the one where he simply says, I am, where he expresses his deity. When he says, without actually saying the word God, but where he says, I am God. And last week we looked at the statement where he said, I am the bread of life. And that really blessed me. I hope that message blessed you as well. And we saw Jesus taking everyday things that the people knew about in the physical and using them as a picture to express spiritual truths. So we saw bread was essential for physical needs back then. People ate a lot of bread. That was a sort of stable, staple diet. And then we compared that to Jesus being essential for our spiritual needs now. Bread satisfied physical hunger, if you remember, but only for a short time. And we compared that with Jesus satisfying spiritual hunger of men for eternity. So it's comparing and contrasting, and it was wonderful. So today, I want to move on to another of his I Am statements. Another use of a physical phenomenon that everyone knows about, and using that to tell a spiritual truth about himself. So you'll have to turn with me today. I'm not able to put the scriptures up on the screen as I have been. You turn to John 8 for me, please. And I want to read this I am statement in context today. I want to look a little bit before, a little bit after it. Because I had a bit of a revelation when I was preparing for this message. Now, we all know that context is vital. We need to know when Jesus is speaking. We need to know who the words are directed at. We need to know the culture of the day. We need to know who it was written to. And that will make a difference in the way we understand the passage. And when I looked at this over the last week, I saw a sentence that made me look at this, because it's going to be talking about I am the light of the world, made me look at that statement in a whole new light, in a different way. So let's look at John, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Awesome. Awesome passages of scripture. I am the light of the world. Lots of things I could teach on from this about Jesus being the light of the world. Lots of things, for example, that I've been boring Nunzi with for the last couple of days, especially as we were sitting at the beach the other day. I could talk about the nature of light. The fact that it is in two different forms at the same time. It behaves as a particle, but also behaves as a wave. Two forms at the same time, depending on how you observe it. Fully wave, yet fully particle at the same time. We could use that as a picture of Jesus, fully God, fully man at the same time. But I'm not going to teach on that today. I could use light in a similar way to bread last week, and that it is absolutely essential for our survival. We all know about food chains. One thing eats another, which itself is eaten by something else. Thankfully, in Scotland, we're at the top of the food chain here. But if we look at any food chain, it always starts with light. Light and photosynthesis within plants, producing sugars from light energy, carbon dioxide and water. Without light, no photosynthesis, no sugars, no food for other organisms, no sugars in grass for cows, no food for us. Light sustains all life on earth, and Jesus sustains all life on earth. Colossians 1:17 says, by him all things consist. Light is essential for life, and I could talk about Jesus being essential for life, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I could teach on how light illuminates things, allows us to see things more clearly or clearer, how it destroys darkness, how it removes darkness. Could talk about Jesus destroying the darkness of the enemy, the darkness of this world. Could talk about Jesus being the only way to illuminate real truth through what he said and what he did. But I don't want to teach on that this morning. Could talk about light being a beacon, something to look for and go towards. And moths are drawn to light. What a pain they are, aren't they, when they're buzzing around your light and you're trying to read in bed. But we could talk about Jesus being the only thing we should be drawn to, like a beacon to guide us. Lots and lots of pictures in this message, lots and lots of sermons there that I could preach, lots of ways I could use the physical aspects of light to teach about a spiritual aspect of Jesus. And that's probably what you've heard in the past when anyone's preached about I am the light of the world. And you might expect things like that this morning when I say I'm going to teach on that. But I don't want to teach on those today. Because I saw a sentence that caught my attention and shifted the focus of my study into another area. Now, I've never heard this verse preached in this way before. I encourage you to study it out yourself once I've finished. This is my take on it. I do feel it's from the Holy Spirit that I received this revelation. But you need to test this for yourself. Amen. So what was the big, huge sentence that really impacted me and changed my focus? Well, it was the start of John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, and that might sound strange, but that's what caught my attention. Got the use of this word, then. It indicates to me that he's saying this next statement because of something that previously happened. Then is a joining word. It joins two things together. He says this because of that. So what came before needs to be examined. And then he spoke again unto them. So who is he speaking to? Who is this statement directed at? So we need to look before and after the statement and see who Jesus is speaking to. So let's look at that just now. Who's he speaking to? What is he saying to them? Because them is in plural. Now, the account before, this is when the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious establishment of the day, those living under religion, the legalists, tried to test him by throwing the woman taken in adultery at his feet. Throw the woman down. Okay, Jesus, what are you going to do about this? What do you say about this? How are you going to deal with this? So Jesus was talking to them, those operating in religion and under the law, the legalists. And immediately after he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you look at the verse after that, who answers him? Verse 13, the Pharisees, therefore, said unto them. So this to me is pretty clear. This is saying Jesus is talking, directing this I am the light statement at the Pharisees. Technically, this statement is not spoken directly to us as born again believers. We can learn from it. We can take lessons from it. But like so much as quite a lot of other passages in the Bible, it's not directly spoken to us. It is spoken to the religious establishment of the day. It is directed at those in religion or under the law. And it is saying they are in darkness and they are not in the light and not living the life that they can live by being under that light. So what's really going on here between the religious establishment and Jesus? Because there's quite a conflict. We see that all the way through the Gospels. The religious establishment of the day just do not get Jesus, just cannot get Jesus. And they're really, they're just great at him. They're just so offended by him. What's going on in this account? Well, this account for me contrasts how the religious act, the religious people act, and how Jesus acts. And this account, my friends, is a picture contrasting law and grace. For the Pharisees, it was all about rules, zealously following them, and they wanted others to live by them as well. They were putting their rules, their laws, their regulations on themselves and on other people. They were saying your blessings or your curses were dependent upon your religious performance. In this account, we see the Pharisees as the law, as religion, and law wanting to punish, wanting to kill. When the religious establishment, in this account, they wanted the woman dead, but we see in many times they wanted Jesus dead as well. But how is that contrasted with Jesus? Well, Jesus is a picture of grace. And we see mercy, we see compassion, we see grace loving the sinner, we see grace forgiving the sinner, and we see grace setting people free. This is the context under which Jesus is talking about darkness and light. And this, my friends, is what Jesus is talking about. He is contrasting law and grace with darkness and light. He is contrasting religion and true Christianity, or religion and truly following Jesus, in terms of darkness and light. If you walk in the light of Jesus, in grace, you are not in darkness. But if you're walking under law, in religion, in legalism, that is darkness. That is what Jesus is saying here. In this verse, that word walk means to live, to deport oneself, as it says in Strong's. It's not walking as in putting one foot in front of the other and going somewhere else. This verse, Jesus is talking about how you live your life, how you live out your life, how you live out your faith. For us, could be about how we live out our Christian walk. Go with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Let me ask you, how did you first receive Jesus? How were you saved? Was it because you prayed, because you tithed, because you fasted? Was it because you did good works? Did you have to work and work and work until you reached that certain level when you were good enough to be saved? No, we all know we were saved as a gift of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We had faith in Jesus, we recognised who he was, we spoke it out, we had faith, we believed, and we were saved. And that, this verse is saying, is how we are meant to live out the rest of our Christian life. As it says here, as ye first received Jesus, gift of grace through faith, so walk ye in him. So live out your life in him. So deport oneself in that way. As you first received Jesus, a gift of grace through faith. So now, my friends, we manifest healing as a gift of grace through faith in Jesus. We manifest peace and acceptance as a gift of grace through faith in Jesus. Through faith, through belief, through understanding. And that is what Jesus is meaning when he says, "I am the light of the world. Follow me. Don't walk in darkness, but live that life of light. Walk in the light." That is what Jesus is meaning here. Live your life in the light, or live your life under grace, benefiting from forgiveness and righteousness. He is equating light to truth and grace. And that's what John 1:17 calls him, isn't it? Let's flick back there. John 1:17. "But the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ was and is grace. And we see that grace displayed by the way he interacts, the way he talks to, the way he forgives, the way he counsels the woman taken in adultery. That account, before he says, "I am the light of the world," one of my favourite accounts, one of my favourite encounters that Jesus has in the whole of Scripture, we see law and grace coming head to head over that woman. The Pharisees would have stoned her. In order to trick Jesus, they would have easily seen her dead. They wanted the letter of the law followed, and that would have killed. But Jesus displayed grace. He walked out love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. That was walking in the light. But Jesus was also called light, wasn't he? Go back a little bit in John 1. Let's read from the beginning, maybe read up to verse 10. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know this is talking about Jesus. "And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Scripture's here talking about Jesus being the light. And what does it say about darkness? Darkness could not comprehend him. Could not understand it, could not get it. Now, what was the darkness that John is writing about here? Well, if I ask most believers, they would say, well, that's talking about unbelievers, it's talking about the world. And of course, that would be true, but I don't think it's the whole story. Not if we look at John 8, that account in John 8. I believe that John 8 shows us there's another area of darkness that just does not comprehend Jesus. And that is those of a religious persuasion, of a legalistic bent, those trying to live under law. Now, I didn't say the law deliberately there. Because yes, we're not under the law. But as Christians, some of us put ourselves under our own law. Or put ourselves under the law of our denomination. Or the law of our pastor. Or the law of our husband. Or whatever. Whatever religious views are imposed upon you that involves you having to do something or stop doing something, that is law. Now, let me just clarify what I mean by the religious, the legalists, law. Religious people are those, and it includes believers, who feel they have to perform in a certain way to approach God, to be blessed by God. They have to do this, they have to do that, they have to stop this, they have to stop that, they have to pray, they have to tithe, they have to fast, whatever. They have to do something in order for God to love them and to bless them. They have to perform, be good, to be healed, perform to be blessed, perform, they do good things for God to hear them, to listen to their prayers, need to humble themselves, pray and turn from their wicked ways in order to get God to forgive them and heal their land. They're trying to approach God through their own efforts and their own works. This is religion, this is legalism, this is putting yourself under law. And the way I understand Scripture this morning, looking at John 8, this is what Jesus is calling walking in darkness. Religion, law, legalism. That, I believe, is what Jesus' term, walking in darkness. Trying to live and get others to live in a legalistic manner is walking in darkness. Trying to approach God and receive from God through your own works, your own efforts, is walking in darkness. Trying to twist God's arm to get him to move because of your holiness is walking in darkness. So what does it mean? What's the opposite? Well, the opposite is walking in the light, being in the light, living under the light. And that simply is following Jesus, believing in Jesus, walking under grace. Believing in him, having faith in Jesus and what he's done. Trusting in who you are in Christ, trusting in who you are through Christ. That is walking in the light, living under grace, not living under law, as Paul says we should be doing in Romans 6. The Pharisees and the scribes, the religious establishment of the day, just did not get Jesus. It's like it started John 1. They just did not comprehend Jesus. They wanted him dead, for goodness sake. That just shows you how much they didn't get him. Here's the Messiah they've been looking for thousands of years. He's standing right in front of them, and they just do not comprehend it. Cannot see who he is. They were the most zealous zealots in the history of zealousness. I don't know if zealousness is a word. But they were the most zealous people on the face of the earth, and they just didn't get it. Couldn't comprehend him. Wanted to live under law. Wanted others to live under law. Just couldn't see this thing that we now call grace. And we know that came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see, dispensed mercy and love and compassion and forgiveness. He dispensed grace. That was the light. And they could not comprehend it. And my friends, it's sad to say, there are many Pharisees alive and well in the church today, concerned about what people, especially women, are wearing. Mourning, complaining about Mr. Smith doing this and Mrs. Jones not doing that. Happy and content that they're tithing and fasting more than anyone else in the church. Comparing everyone and everything. Trying to impose their own laws on everyone else. Oh, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Well, Christians shouldn't be drinking. Christians shouldn't be going into that place. We've all seen them. And my friend, if we're being completely honest, we've all been there to some certain extent, some degree or another. We all, at times in our lives, seem anointed to put ourselves under law. Any kind of law. But that's not for us. These people with a religious bent, legalistic persuasion, according to my understanding of scripture here, are walking in darkness. They're not in the light. And sometimes when we try to tell them about grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, they just don't get it. And some people are as much in the dark today as the Pharisees were back then. I've almost been run out of town on two occasions when I preached about absolute and unconditional forgiveness that was dispensed at the cross. Preached the grace message. Some people just cannot or will not comprehend the new covenant truth about grace. They want to insist that they need to ask for forgiveness. There's something they need to do to be forgiven. You need to confess and repent of our sins. You need to do some kind of religious work to be forgiven. That's walking in darkness when New Covenant scripture is clear. We've been forgiven. Walking in darkness. That's asking for forgiveness, repenting, confessing in the Old Covenant manner. Following Jesus and walking in the light is believing and understanding that you've already been forgiven and constantly thanking him for it and living out of that forgiveness. Dredging around for unconfessed sin in your life in order to receive your healing is walking in darkness. Following Jesus and walking in the light is knowing that you've already been healed, and through that understanding you can manifest this healing as a gift of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I've not mentioned the woman taken in adultery in this message. And as I said before, many of you know, this is one of my favourite encounters in the Word. I love his love for the woman. Clearly a sinner. Taken in the very act. Clearly a sinner. There's no getting out of this, that woman was a sinner. But Jesus loves her, this sinner. Gives her compassion. Forgives her. Neither do I condemn thee, said Jesus. And then, only then, after he's dispensed forgiveness, does he say, go and sin no more. See, that's grace. And now I see this woman walking in the light, receiving forgiveness and walking in it in order to sin no more. But you see, the Pharisees would want things the other way around. The religious establishment, the legalists of today, want things the other way around. They expect performance. They expect us to go and sin no more. And then we'll get forgiveness. We'll get blessings. We'll get a relationship with Jesus. No, no, no. The relationship comes first. And out of that, then we can go and sin no more. That's the difference between law and grace. Expecting performance. sin no more, then you get the blessings, then you get forgiveness, dependent upon your performance. That is the way of legalism or law or religion. Walk properly, then Jesus will love you and bless you. But that, according to John 8, I believe, is walking in darkness. Jesus showed there was a new way, a better way, the way of grace, walking in his light. Have faith in him, follow him, receive what he has for you, and then you can go and sin no more. This is a beautiful account highlighting the contrast between law and grace, between religion and following Jesus. And in John 8:12, Jesus describes those two different approaches as walking in darkness or walking in light. And he equates following him as being in the light. And through that, you have life. Amen. My friends, we live under grace and not under law. If we put ourselves under law, any kind of law, we are walking in darkness and we're not in the light. And if we put ourselves under any legalism or bondage of religion of any kind, we are walking in darkness. Let's finish looking at one passage, one verse. Galatians 5 verse 1 says this: Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I encourage you this morning, my friends, walk in the light. That's where life is. Walking in darkness, that's where death is. Walk in the light. Follow Jesus. Walk out the rest of your life in his light, under grace and under truth. Have nothing to do with law or legalism or religion. That is trying to put you under bondage and it will lead to death. Walk in the liberty that is the light of Jesus. Walk in his grace and walk in his truth. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that blesses you this morning. That really blessed me as I was preparing it and teaching it, to see this I am the light of the world in just a different context. And it shows us a context is so important. Who was he talking to? What was it about? I encourage you to just simply walk in the light of Jesus. I've just thought of another scripture there that's come to my mind. I just want to share it before we finish. Just before this, people are asking Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? See, religion tells you need to work. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the next thing. What works do we need to do? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. Our work as born again believers, as Christians, is simply to believe on Jesus. We believe on him, we trust him, we love him, we walk in his light. And my friends, works will come out of that. Out of relationship. We don't have to work to get into relationship, but once we're in relationship, works will come from that. That's the difference between law and grace. Hallelujah. Awesome. As we've been doing each week, I am going to pray and receive an offering in faith. Hallelujah. Thank you to those of you that are regularly sending to us into our bank account so that we can meet our commitments to the ministries and the charities that we support. I've had a suggestion that I put on our website all the ministries and charities that we do support, so I'm hopefully going to get that up and running this week, and you'll be able to go in and see who you are supporting through your offerings and your gifts. So Father, I thank you for the chance to give into your kingdom. Thank you for the chance to sow into your kingdom, but also the chance to sow into our own futures. We thank you for the principles of sowing and reaping, of giving and receiving. So I thank you, Father, for every cheerful giver this morning, in whatever manner, ever way they give into your kingdom. I thank you for them, and I thank you that these offerings are blessed and will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to finish our service by taking communion together. I had hoped, as I said at the start, I had hoped that Michelle would be leading us in communion. But I'm sure that will happen next week once I fix the technology and link up my accounts again. So let's take communion together. Let's just focus on Jesus, focus on his amazing finished work, focus on what he's done for us. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11. That the Lord Jesus, verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Also the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, that communion is simply an act of remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that it's not a religious work. It's not an opportunity to look for sin, to confess and repent. I thank you that communion is all about the Son and not about the sin. I thank you that every sin we have ever done, are doing, or going to do has already been dealt with on the cross and has been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. I thank you that that revelation will help every single one of us live and walk in the light. Hallelujah. Absolute, unconditional, complete forgiveness for every single man, woman, boy and girl was dispensed at the cross when his blood flowed. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Father, for the symbol of his body. Body that he freely gave to be scourged, freely gave to go on the cross, freely gave to have all our sin and sickness and disease put upon. So I thank you, Father, for all that Jesus went through on the cross in his body. Thank you for the wonderful exchanges that took place on that cross, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you, excuse me, I thank you for this symbol of his shed blood. Blood also was shed freely, but shed once and once only for the forgiveness of all sin for all men forever. Thank you for his perfectly perfect work on the cross. Thank you that at his end on this earth he said, "It is finished." The law finished. The problem with sin for mankind in terms of their relationship with you, Father, finished. All because of the blood of Jesus. So the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you for Jesus, for his amazing finished work. Thank you for all that it achieved for us on the cross. Thank you for all the things we now have in Christ and through Christ because of the cross. Thank you that our relationship with you is now all about his performance and not about our performance. Thank you that our work is to believe on him whom you have sent. So we thank you for Jesus, what he did. The great exchanges that took place, the things that we now are because of his finished work. We thank you and we praise you and we worship you. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So hallelujah, thank you for joining me eventually. I'm really sorry about all the technical problems at the start. But hey, these things happened. So we managed to get together. We've had the word. We've had an offering and we've had communion. Don't forget to look at our website, murraygrace.org.uk, see what's happening in our calendar throughout the week. We have communions, we have Bible study this week. Don't think we have anything else this week, but we definitely have communions and Bible study. So see that on the website or look on our Facebook page and see the little snip of the calendar. You're very welcome to join. If you're not already on my mailing list, message me or phone me or email me or something, I'll get you on that list and you can start to join us. So thank you for being with me this morning. Bless you all. Thanks for your patience. And we'll see you all very soon. God bless. Bye-bye now.